Hello, Chichillers here. We interrupt the daily grind of the mundane and hyperbolous banter to bring you this extraordinary and astonishing broadcast.
It is time to cast off words and darkness. It is time to dress ourselves in light.
Oh, yes it is. It's time again for It Is Time. Hello, this is Ed Gutfeld. We're glad you're with us. And we are beginning another extraordinary time together in the Word of the Lord. And we thank God that it's time to blow the trumpet. It's time to wake up and gather the troops. It's time to put on the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the helmet of peace, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit, all of the full armor of God, and wake up and do the things that God is calling us to do. Hey, we're on the right side of time. Time is on our side. Why? Because we're redeeming it. We're buying it back. Hallelujah. And we're causing the things of heaven to become real to our lives because we're paying attention. And the trumpet has been blown and we are listening. We're into another week, glory to God, for something great to happen. All you got to do is pay attention and give God your best, give God your heart, and give God his portion. And his portion is, you know, our attention. That's what he's looking for. And we're going to begin this broadcast with maybe an old song. I found this and we'll just give you an idea of what we're going to do. And this is Burl Ives and an old song. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's let Burl Ives sing it to us.
Oh, the Lord looked down from his window in the sky. Said, I created man, but I don't remember why. Nothing but fighting since creation day. Gonna send a little water and it'll wash them all away. The Lord came down to look around a spell. There was Mr. Noah behaving mighty well. And that is the reason the scriptures record that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace.
Yeah, the Bible does declare. He landed high and dry. Yes, he did. And not a lot of people did land high and dry. In fact, the whole earth was covered with water, and God started over with Noah. But the scripture does declare that Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. It says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That man, that's very powerful that Noah did find grace in the sight of the Lord. Though it be an old song and maybe not exactly the Bible story, Burl Ives and the backup singers were singing the truth that God did give Noah grace. And we thank God that grace is such a powerful, powerful subject. If you've not touched on grace for a while in your life, that we're here to just highlight that today. I just feel that that's a word for right now. And grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus paid it all that we might have the grace of God in our life. And it could be defined as God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. Another person said it this way, grace is God's power in me to do what his will asks of me or demands of me. In other words, if God asks you to do it, his grace is there to get it done. And so we need to take advantage of that grace and realize that it's the grace of God that gets these things done. And we are going to put the pedal to the metal where the grace of God is concerned and, you know, just study this out and let the songs that we pick and the things that we do, let it, you know, let it expound on the mighty, mighty power and the mighty subject of the grace of God. But before we do that, let's hear a word from our sponsor for this half hour, 2 Core 10:4. Our sponsor this half hour is 2 Core 10:4. Has your mind been plagued and bombarded with the high traffic of vain imaginations? Have the thoughts and accusations from the father of lies been jamming and congesting the freeways of your mind? Do human reasonings and haughty intellectual arrogance overcrowd and clog the corridors and throughways of your thinking? Then it's time you try 2 Core 10:4. 2 Core 10:4 was first introduced by the Apostle Paul around 56 AD. 2 Core 10:4 carries the anointing of God and has been overpowering mental congestion for centuries. Known by its full name, 2 Corinthians 10:4, this passage of Spirit and Life has been eliminating stress and anxiety through its authoritative casting down power. Yes, the thoughts are cast down when the believer addresses them so in the mighty name of Jesus. When this gospel is applied, the mental traffic and congestion is cleared up and all thoughts of peace prevail. When 2 Core 10:4 is on the job, the traffic report is clear and smooth sailing. You can find 2 Core 10:4 in the New Testament in the book of 2 Corinthians, right after 1 Corinthians and just before Galatians. 2 Core 10:4, a spiritual weapon to fight and beat the mental traffic jam. Apply it today and be at peace in moments. Yes, 2 Core 10:4 does work when you put it to work. You cast down that imagination and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and you'll see what happens. You'll be at peace in moments. Yeah, and you can use it on the job too, even while using heavy machinery. Praise the Lord. You can use this at any time, day or night. And 2 Core 10:4 goes to work. 2 Corinthians 10:4 is a mighty, mighty blessing. And we're back to our subject of grace. You know, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And you're going to either do it by grace or by works. You're going to do it by grace, by God's grace, which is his divine sovereign power on your behalf. Everything that heaven has can be pinpointed down like a laser beam right to your situation. All of heaven stands to back up those who will live by grace through faith. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you humble yourself, God says he's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And not only did he save us, but he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. You see, that's the important thing. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And we don't want that to be happening to us, do we? No. Chris Tomlin has a song, and it says this: we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't want any boasting going on when it comes to the grace of God, because it's a gift, it's a blessing from heaven, and we thank God for it. Yeah. We're saved by grace through faith. Your grace, Lord, is enough.
The sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. To lead the strong.
Yeah, Your Grace Is Enough. That is Chris Tomlin, and that is a powerful song. We need to trust in the grace of God. There's no greater, well, it's hard to pick any greater thing, but there's so many great things about God, and they can't be, you can't just pick one and say this is the greatest one, because God is so, you know, everything about God is so wonderful. Obviously, his love stands out because God is love. But the grace of God is such an amazing topic, and there's such debate over this. In a lot of the Christian circles, there is debate about the grace of God. Most people do recognize, because it's so plain in Scripture, that we need it. And because grace does not involve man's effort for righteousness. There is an effort that is of God's grace. In other words, God's grace inspires us to live a certain way. But without that grace, you don't have the strength, the motivation, the power, and the proper direction. You know, you can tell somebody to go do a job, and they do a job, and you go, that is not even the way I wanted that job. And that's what the human race has done for God. Oh God, we're gonna do something for you, and we're gonna bring it to you, and we bring it to you, and it's like God says, that's not what I asked for, and that's what you call man's works. And when you build it, Noah, see, built that boat according to the specified directions of God. And some people say, I don't know how to build a boat, God. You know, don't tell me how big to build it. Don't tell me how wide to build it. God, I'll build you a boat, and you'll be happy with it. And you'll build God a little speedboat, and say, how am I going to fit all the animals on this speedboat? Yeah, but I like speedboats, God. And God says, no, that's not, you don't understand. That's not what I wanted. And the scripture is very plain that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I want you to know that grace is abounding even right now. And the law is the opposite of grace. If you want to be righteous through the law, that's your business. You can tell God, I'm going to be righteous through the law, God. And God will say, okay, go ahead, try your best. But I guarantee you, you're not going to make it. And the law entered that the offense might abound, you see. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God gave us the law. He gave the human race the law so that we would know that we fall short of God's glory. And the law was never intended to be a way to live. It was made to be a schoolmaster to teach us that we needed grace, that we needed God. And even Abraham understood this when he offered himself to God and said, you know, Lord, you know, I'll do it your way. And God said, okay, I'm going to count that as righteousness. And then he had him perform something from the law, but even his heart appropriated that which God gave him by faith. But anyway, the law entered that the offense might abound. God gives us the law to show us that we can't keep it. And so where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And it says that as sin has reigned unto death, this is Romans chapter 5, verse 21, as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, as sin has reigned unto death, even so grace reigns through righteousness. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And even though Noah in his day, man's thoughts were evil continually, and God said, I've given you an opportunity, you're not taking it. Now this is your last opportunity. And God gave everybody a chance to get in that boat, but only eight did. And so God had to start all over. So in that regard, grace is the only way to come to God. Let God's grace draw you. If you're tired and weary and heavy laden, that's what Jesus was talking about in John's gospel when he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You'll find rest for your soul. He said, you need grace is what you need. You've been laboring and you're worn out, and you're trying to be holy, and you built altars, and you do all these things, and you put burdens on people's backs that you yourself can't even bear, and you're trying to be religious, you're trying to be holy, you light candles, you do this, you do all these things. And God said, don't you know it's by my grace? It's totally by my grace. And I want you to trust in my grace. And it's the grace of God alone that is the platform by which we can approach God. His throne is called a throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace, it says. And this is the Promise Keepers, a men's choir singing, Grace Alone. Very powerful. Grace Alone, and that's Promise Keepers. And grace is, like I said, the platform into God's presence. And he said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. If your life is in a time of need right now, don't you fear, because God and his grace is near. And it's impossible to please God without faith. But I'll tell you something, grace is by faith. And so we have to come forth in an element of grace hallelujah to God, which is in faith. How do those two work together? It's not grace alone completely, but it's grace alone when you're thinking of my efforts. And that song is telling us, hey, don't you add something to this. You let grace be the foundation. And that's what the weary person and the person that's worn out and the person that's tried everything and the person that is so complete in themselves all have in common. We've got to go ahead and just say, you know what? It doesn't matter. The grace of God is calling me. The grace of God is offering me the throne of grace. Yeah, I don't have to do anything right to come to that throne of grace. All I got to do is know it's there. And when you come, watch out, because the grace of God is not going to leave you the way you came. The grace of God will change and transform us. And we said in the scripture earlier, Romans 6, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Rather, Romans 5. And then he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that the grace of God may abound? God forbid. He said, you're going to be changed by the grace of God. The grace of God's going to change you, man. And it changed me. I know it changed the way I think about everything. Grace just said, come on up. Come on to the throne. Come up to the throne. And don't come timidly either. Come boldly. Say, well, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've said. You don't know what I've done. And God says, you know, I don't really care. Because the sin is not the problem anymore. Sin's been paid for. And the question is, our pride and our arrogance and what we try to bring to God. And God says, don't bring anything. Just let my grace open the door. Let my grace, it's grace alone. And so when we come to God by grace alone, it's the greatest. That's the only thing you're left with is, great is your grace, Lord. Great. Great is your grace. Because it's grace that brought me out when I was swept away. Oh, hallelujah to God. David Archibek wrote this song. And what a powerful song it is. Great is your grace. Are you depending on something else other than the grace of God? Right now, let go of it. Just let go of all of it. And let the grace of God, I mean, just let it go. The only thing you need to do is lift your hands and say, God, your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is enough. Grace alone. Great is your grace.
It was grace that drew me out, and I was swept away. And mercy turned me in, now I'm alive to say, great is your mercy, Lord. And great is your grace. It was grace that drew swept away, mercy to me. Now I'm alive to say, great is your mercy, Lord. Great is your grace, and I will come boldly to your throne. I will come to your throne of grace. That I might obtain your mercy and find grace to help me in time of need. Oh, it was grace that drew me. Standing now, this holy ground. It was grace that brought me, saved this far. and grace will lead me home and help me in time of need.
Give thanks for God's grace. Great is your grace, Lord. Brought me out. Lord, you're just touching people right now with your grace, giving them graceful words, graceful reactions, graceful ways. The grace of God touch your family. Those hurts in your heart, maybe. Let the grace of God just touch it. God can transform the way you think about everything. He can transform the way you think about some of the people that make you so upset. Oh, hallelujah. Let there be just a powerful relationship between you and your Father, your Heavenly Father, that draws you close to Him. In the name of Jesus, let the grace of God do a work. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Change the atmosphere of your house, the place of your business. Great is your mercy, Lord, and great is your grace. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You know, Saint Francis of Assisi said, above all the grace and the gifts that Christ gives to his beloved, one of the greatest graces is that of overcoming yourself. That's right. Just overcoming the grief and the hurt and the burdens that are upon ourself. And also, along with that, he talks about the fact that you overcome the guilt that's in your life. All the things that we've done that have been falling short of ourself. You can only overcome yourself with God. You think you can find something to meditate on and something to think about that lasts for a little while, you still have yourself. But I'll tell you what, the grace of God is so profound and so wonderful that it causes us to overcome ourself and overcome our guilts and overcome all the things we've said and done. You know, the law detects sin. Grace overcomes sin. The blood of Jesus is the grace of God on display. It's the grace of God in action. It's the power of God's grace for us to see. The power that's behind God's grace is the blood of Jesus. The law detects sin, but grace overcomes sin. That's why the Bible said where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Of all the graces that God gives the church and gives his beloved, one of the greatest graces of all is that of overcoming ourselves. And so much of what we do, we cause ourselves. But thanks be to God, there's something greater than that. Amen. And the Lord delivers us from our selfishness, our pride, our arrogance. Again, the scripture said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And when you can't be humble on your own, but the grace of God can show you what humility looks like. The grace of God can show you what a humble man does when he gets up in the morning, what a humble man does when he's confronted with garbage, when he's confronted with sin, when he's confronted with things that are nasty and things that come to steal, kill, and destroy. God's grace can show you what a man of God, how he reacts, and it's in the person of Jesus. Jesus stood silent before his accusers. Jesus often answered not a word, but he would begin to pray, and then the wisdom of God would come. Especially, remember when the time in Scripture where it says that the woman was caught in adultery, the very act of it, and these people took her and brought her to Jesus. How humiliating it must have been for this woman. How degrading it must have been. You know, I'm not supporting her sin at all, but I'm saying, hey, you know, they brought her and she's just totally embarrassed and shamed in public. And they said, Moses said to kill her, stone her. What do you say? And they were doing that. They figured they finally cornered Jesus, that he cannot go against Moses. And Jesus didn't go against Moses, but he went to his knees and began to write in the ground, in the sand. And he looks up and he says, hey, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. And the wisdom of God just spoke. What? That's grace right there. That's grace. That's the Father saying, Jesus, I'm going to give you something that's greater than anything that's going on right now. And that's what grace does. It just overcomes everything. And the throne of grace, when you go there, you obtain something. You obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And the mercy came to that woman. And Jesus said to her, woman, where is your accusers? And she looked at Jesus, and I'm sure she just very timidly said, Lord, they're not here. He said, no one's here to condemn me. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Now, where was the power to not sin? It was in the grace that Jesus gave her. And when that grace was extended, now she's got a new life, a brand new life. How powerful is that? Oh, my goodness. There's an old hymn that was written. Obviously, we all know it. It's called Amazing Grace. And I love the addition to the song. This is Michael W. Smith, and actually a song by Chris Tomlin, but Michael W. Smith is doing it, and he's, what's added in this is so powerful. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My Lord has ransomed me. Like a flood his mercy came. Unending love, amazing grace. Hallelujah. And if you're in a position to receive right now, you do it. I mean, you just get all your attention for just a few moments, 5 minutes or so, and just let this song minister to your heart. Let it wash away all the junk, all the garbage. And if you're in a position where you don't have any junk and garbage, you're current with heaven, then just let this song minister to you and build you up on the inside, strengthen you with all might by his spirit in the inward man. And you will be transformed in the precious name of Jesus, because God is able to do that by his spirit. And let something happen to you that is so amazing, because his grace is at work in everything God does. His grace is unfolded. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Verse. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears raised. How precious thing that grace appeared, beyond my worst belief. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy breaks. Unending love, amazing. The Lord has promised good to me. His word of hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as I endure,
my chains. Amazing love, amazing grace.
That's Michael W. Smith and Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Isn't it amazing how God can just absolutely take that thing out of your life and just set you on high, praise the Lord, and give you a new thought, a new way of speaking, a new way of walking. The scripture said it's by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated by his own sacrifice. Glory to God. And so we've been given a new and living way to approach God. And it's not by works. It's not by my efforts. It's not by what I've done and what I've accomplished. It's by his grace and his grace alone. And by grace through faith, we are saved. And God says, if you'll grab a hold of this, that's faith, you know. If you'll just come and grab a hold of it by my free offer here, then you've got it. And God says it's by grace through faith. Faith says, okay, I'll take it. And faith takes it. And grace says, you didn't earn it. And here's my power. Here's the flood. Boom. You know, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that boat that God gave him was a work of grace. He didn't have to earn that. Yeah, he built it, but it was a work of grace. He said, you know, God saved me, so I'm building this boat. And I don't know why, but God said he's gonna do something. He's going to use this boat. And everybody goes, well, I don't believe that I need a boat. I don't need a boat, man. I've got a good enough life. My life's good. My life's taking care of me. And, you know, me and my wife, my kids, us four no more. We're just doing all right. And Noah said, well, I'm building a boat. God said, build a boat. And so this goes on and on and on and on. And people just go on and on and on and on. And they're married, given in marriage. They're doing this. They're buying. They're selling. They're doing all these things. And suddenly, boom. The door shuts on this boat, and it begins to rain. And you find out what grace is at that point. Noah said, I didn't do anything. All I did was obey God. I didn't do a thing except obey God. People think I built a boat. No, God's grace built this boat. And that's what God wants to do with our lives. You know, you did this. No, God's grace did it. It was the grace of God in me. That's what did this. And that's so amazing. Hallelujah. You know, we've put together a team. God has put it on our hearts to put together a team. And that team is called Team Edify. And what we want to do is just go out through all the world. We're in a couple nations already, over 100 people. We want you to get aboard with us. And we're going to help do something that God has put in our hearts. It's like a boat, but it's a button. And it says Edify for life. And that's what we're about to do, is edify for life. Listen up and get involved. Hello, this is Ed Gutfeld, and I want to announce to you that there's a new team in town. It's Team Edify. We're running out the bullies of fear, doubt, and despair because Team Edify is taking over. This team is called to build up, strengthen, and cause to overcome. We're calling for 1 million men and women, boys and girls, to lock arms and declare the word of edification in our homes, schools, on the job, in the church, and throughout the marketplaces of the world. We are a simple yet mighty team who have made a decision that each and every day we will receive edification for our lives, bring edification to those around us, and give edification away to someone new each and every day. As a team member, you will receive our unique and colorful Edify button, a lifetime membership card, daily prayer, and access to daily edification through videos, testimonies, and social network. To join the Edify revolution, simply log on to edifyforlife.org and follow the simple steps. We live in troubled times full of deception, lies, and depression, but we can make a difference bearing the glad tidings of edification. Again, the website is edifyforlife.org. Join in today. Be one in a million at edifyforlife.org. That's edifyforlife.org.
The pages said meet you at the information counter. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
That's okay, that's okay. If we hurry, we can make it.
Hey, you're just in time. You got back just in time. We're ready to do something great. Oh, my goodness. We know who we are. We are His. You know, that's amazing. Grace grabbed us and just put His arm around us and made us His. And we found out who we are. We are His. He makes us His overcomers. And let's listen to this right now because it'll absolutely thrill your soul.
Run!
my goodness, that'll preach right there. And that's from Israel Houghton, and that is "I Know Who I Am." You know, God doesn't leave you the way he found you. Absolutely does not. He transforms and brings us into something brand new. We're not the same. We're just not who we were. And that's the work of grace. God says, hey, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I'm not going to leave you the way you were. Maybe you're just out on the street, just wandering around. Maybe you've been divorced. Maybe you've been left, you know, with a great big debt. Maybe you've been this. Maybe you've been that. That's not who you are. God's grace touches you. He makes you a child of his own and says, that's who you are. This is who you are. You're an overcomer. I know who I am. I'm yours, Lord. I just, you know, hey, that's the greatest place to start right there. Who are you? Well, I'm God's. And the Bible said, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is the Lord's, and in your spirit, which is the Lord's. And this is one of the greatest truths in all the New Testament, is that God bought us with a price. You know, God went out there and said, I'll take him, I'll take her, I'll take him, I'll take her. He loves the whole world. Because people, you say, well, how could God love the world? There's so much sin. Hey, well, guess what? God can change every bit of it. If the world will listen, then not all people listen. The Bible said that, you know, broad is the way and many go that way. Narrow is the way and few go that way. Few want to listen because pride gets in the way. God resists the proud. The proud have no room for God, but he gives grace to the humble. And that grace changes us because God's able to do open heart surgery on us. Because we're able to just sit there and let God work. The proud man won't let God work. He just says, I'm too busy. I'm too important. I've got too many things to do. I got too many things on my plate. And I'm sorry, God, I don't have time for you. But the humble man says, God, go to work. Do what you need to do and you can have me. Glory to God. You know what we become? We become the friend of God. Yeah, let God be your friend. You become God's friend. And see what happens. Yeah. This is Friend of God. That's who we've become. We're the friend of God. Shout about it. Amen.
James 2:23 says Abraham believed. How many believers here tonight? And it says it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. I thank God that he calls us his friends. In spite of all that we have done, if we'll only believe, say only believe, only believe, only believe. Who am I? You are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the work of grace right there. You call me friend. When God's grace is sufficient, it ends up in friendship. Hallelujah. God loves us so much. He calls us friends. We are the friend of God. You know, we don't have to earn anything with God. All you got to do is lift your hands up and surrender and just say, Lord, everything belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. Glory to God. Well, that's about all the time we have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today. We're so thankful for your prayers. We're so thankful for your financial gifts and everything you do to help us. We're just encouraged because God is on the throne and he calls us his friends and his grace is abounding. Even though sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Great is your grace, Lord. Hallelujah. By grace alone, you brought us. And put us in this place, grace through faith. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we've become friends of God. That's right. We know who we are. We know who we are. We're yours, Lord. We belong to you. What a simple message today, yet so profound to change the world. Hey, we got to go, but join us on the next podcast. We're going to have something wonderful to share with you. Until then, just remember this. Don't put anything off. It is time to start declaring the greatness of our God. It is time to not postpone anything, but to get on what God has told us to do and just follow him in the name of Jesus. Tell somebody that God is doing great things. And remember, it is time.